Let me hear ya. Where my Eden citizens at? Where my Eden citizens at? Where you at? Let me see if you feel like this. Here we go.
When God made man, he made a sin. It wasn't planned that we were blessed. The filter came. We were distracted. The filter came. And we fell. We were deep to live a life with God. A life that moves. A life that reaches too far. It is my goal to remind you of it.
That's what we're supposed to be, on top of the world. It's time that we, that are citizens of the kingdom of God, take our rightful place on top of the world. Be what the Father God said we are. And we have the tools to do that with, okay? Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God, called the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're truly happy to have each and every one of you guys. I thank God for you being here, because if you hadn't been here, you could be elsewhere. So I thank you for sharing with us in the Word of God. We want to be mindful today that let's talk about evangelist William. She's a little under the weather. She may be listening in, and we thank God for that. Also, evangelist Renee is having surgery. We want to be in the agreement with prayer that God give her a speedy recovery. And the people in Morocco, even though they have denounced America, we're going to pray for them, because the Bible said we have to pray for those that call themselves our enemy. We got to pray for them. Morocco is an old, well, I'm not even getting into that. We're just going to pray for them, okay? And pray that God will do what he needs to do in that country. Also, I'm going to ask Pastor Bill if she'll give us a word of prayer and get us started for the week. And we'll go from there. Pastor Dale.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. And thank you, Pastor, for that song. Amen. And the scripture I'd like to share is coming from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Amen. And Heavenly Father, we come before you this afternoon, and we're bringing all our concerns to you, Father God, and we're bringing Evangelist William to you, Father God. Evangelist Renee, Father God, we ask that you will heal them. Your word says by your stripes we're healed. And so, Lord, we're praying for their healing. And, Lord, we're praying for the people in Morocco, Father God. And we ask that you will touch the people there, Father God. Let them know that you are in control and that you are God. You are the Almighty God, the true and living God. And, Father God, we continue to pray for them, Father God. And, Lord, we just pray for each and every one, Father God, all those who have called in today, all those who are listening by Internet, Father God. There's nothing impossible for you to do, Father God. So we agree, we're on one accord, Father God, and we're trusting you, Father God, because we believe that all things are possible through you, Father God, and all things are working in our good, as it tells us in Romans 8:28, Father God. So, Lord, we just trust you, Father God, standing on the word of God. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless our pastor as he teaches this word, Father God, and then help us to receive the word, Father God, even if we don't understand it right then. Let us meditate on that word, that we're able to understand it, Father God, and be able to agree and be on one accord, and knowing that God will make all things plain unto us, Father God. So, Lord, we're just praying and thanking you for your word, and we're praying for our sisters and our brothers that may not be feeling well, those that may be going through surgery, and those that are just not feeling good under the weather. So we bind up the enemy as he tried to attack us in our bodies, and we're going to press on, because we know that you are in control, and we know you love us, and you won't put no more on us than what we can bear. So Father God, we just thank you. We ask that you would be with those who are bereaved. Be with my stepdaughter, Father God. Help her, Father God, as she goes through her time of bereavement, Father God, and Lord, give her peace, Lord, and Lord, we ask that you would be with all others that may be going through bereavement at this time, and then be with those that are going through so many people are troubled and so many people are down. And Lord, we know you're able to lift them up. We know you're able to encourage their heart. So, Father God, we ask that you will touch them and give them peace also, Father God. Lord, we just thanking you for our pastor. We ask that you continue to be with him and his family, Father God. Continue to bless his daughter also, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you. We love you. And we ask that you will have your way in this Bible study. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Bell, for that heartfelt prayer. I've been kind of working with a couple of different subjects for this week, but we'll just flow because people are so blind to God's true grace. And not only is it unmerited favor, but God's true grace is it's something so different than we acknowledge in the past until God's true grace. I want y'all to hear this.
Yeah.
His true grace is the only way you're going to understand this is you have to start abiding in that. Start living in that. And once you start living in that, you want to depart that to some of everybody. No reason Paul would constantly say, may God's grace and peace be unto you. You know, you want God's stuff on somebody. You want to bless somebody with the things of God. But with that being said, we're going to begin today's discussion from the book of 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, the 12th chapter, 9 and 10 verses. 2 Corinthians 12, and we're just praying at a speedy recovery for Sister William and also for Evangelist Renee and her surgery as well. So we're just praying for speedy recovery for all of them. I'm disagreeing with you, Pastor, with the prayer. Okay, in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10, I'll read out the King James, and you can read out the Messenger if you please. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproach, in necessity, persecution, distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
Amen. Reading from the Message Bible, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, to let it happen, I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitation in stride and with good cheer these limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks. I just let Christ take over. And so the weakness, so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Amen.
So God says to Paul, my grace is sufficient. And when I understand sufficient, it's adequate. It's enough to meet whatever situation you're dealing with. You know why? Because the other day we said God is the God of all grace. So his grace qualifies to meet every need there is in our life, in our everyday life. He says it's sufficient. Listen, brother and sister, it's got to satisfy you. The kind of grace that God is talking about here, believe me, it would make things right for you. It's acceptable to pay whatever price that need to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something ordinary. It's sufficient.
Amen.
Satisfactory.
Yes.
It's beyond okay. It's beyond fair. This is God's grace we're talking about. He said it's sufficient.
Amen.
You got to understand, brothers and sisters, that the God kind of grace go beyond what we've been taught. Because we've been taught that, you know, God's grace is sufficient, meaning, you know, it's all right. You know, it's a little different. It's his favor. But brothers and sisters, it go beyond that. Trust me. God's grace, when I think about sufficient, I think about how wonderful. I think about his grace is amazing. Somebody said that song said it was amazing. But I think it's miraculous. I think it's astonishing what the grace of God will do. Matter of fact, it's stunning to me. It's beyond ordinary. It's extraordinary.
Yeah. Amen.
It's incredible what God's grace will do for you at a time of need you can't even imagine. So Paul says it's when I read this now, I'm going to get in some of it today, and I think I will. Paul said, he went to the Lord. Lord, I came to you three times. Now, I'm going to argue with a lot of theologians right now because they said it was some kind of a thing that he became blind. And then they give a scripture that why he was blind. Brothers and sisters, Paul wasn't blind because he met the Lord on Damascus Road and he went down there and he had to have hands laid on him. And people... See, all of that stuff, that happened before the anointing hit Paul. But let me tell you what this thorn in the flesh. Because, see, a lot of people, they think, and you got to be able to understand this. Paul said, now, I'm in a position now. He was glorying in the things of God. And he thought about that. And the enemy came.
Mm-hmm.
And brothers and sisters, let me tell you what. When you start going strong for God, the enemy coming. He's coming.
Yeah.
Look for it.
Yeah.
He's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you know, I don't want to glory in myself. I'd rather glory in my infirmities. Now, if you take that word infirmity, you might mean that, you know, that somebody said that Paul was hunchback. Somebody else said he had a leg. They could only see that physical aspect of life. But let me tell you what. Your mind is physical. Your spirit is not. So Paul said Paul said what happened was he was attacked in the mind. And you go back to the seventh chapter of the book of Romans, you'll see he was constantly being attacked. But here it is. The seventh verse says this, unless I should be exalted above measure, the abundance of revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buff me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, think about this, brother and sister. I want y'all to hear this thing. I want you to hear it correctly. Matter of fact, I think I let Pastor read it at the Messenger Bible, just the seventh verse, because I want to show the people that this thorn in the flesh had nothing to do with the physical part. It was more the mental part. So the messenger came to him in the mind, the messenger, not in the body, like a lot of people predict. See, I ain't going with that. I ain't going on that. It was in the mind, the messenger. So if you got a messenger, you wouldn't get it in your hip or your foot or your... No, you get it in the mind. And then your mind, it's there sitting with that thought, and your spirit reason that what's in your mind. You know how you get thoughts? Where the thoughts come, it comes in your mind. Where revelation comes, it comes in your mind. So this was a mind plus a spiritual thing that Paul was dealing with, because he didn't want to be exalted above measure. He wanted to, you know, hey, wait a minute. I know I'm a superstar, and I know I'm doing God's will, and God talking with me. He's dealing with, but you know what? I ain't going to let this overshadow the fact that it's God that's doing it. And Satan wanted him to be exalted above measure. So let's read the seventh verse, if you will, Pastor.
Okay. From the Message Bible. Because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. Amen.
Let me explain that too, because his knee, man, he went to praying about it. Satan's angels came to him, a messenger. And he began to buff him, and they use the word handicap. In other words, what was going on here was a thorn in the flesh, something remind him that, wait a minute, Paul, you haven't arrived yet. But let's back up for a moment and see how he got to that place. God began to give him revelation about the church. That you no longer have to go to church, but be the church. See, Revelation, like 2 Corinthians 6:19, 1 Corinthians. See, knowing who you are in Christ, Ephesians 2:10. See, people wasn't teaching that. This was revelation knowledge. Paul was began to tell the people, hey, you've been made in God's image and truly after his likeness. And he began to prove this stuff to these people. And show them in scripture, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Well, nobody teaching nobody to have that kind of mindset.
Amen.
They was teaching the law of Moses, brothers and sisters. That's what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And here Paul coming with this revelation about, hey, Christ is the end of the law. Ain't no more Moses stuff now. Help me, Holy Ghost. I hope y'all see this.
Amen.
Nobody else was teaching. See, like we're teaching here to be the church and not go to church. And nobody else teaching. Very few folks teaching that. Be the church.
Yeah.
Don't go to
church.
Be the church. So that's the kind of revelation Paul was teaching. He was teaching people right from the Word of God, right from the Old Testament. Everything he taught, the Bible says in Acts, he did this. Every day he studied to see were those things true. And he come to find out they were. And he began to get this revelation knowledge about the real church. And so as he gloried in this stuff, wait a minute, Satan began to buff him and get him to think. It was a messenger. That's what that was, brothers and sisters. Began to remind him. Now, some people want to get carried away, but he's telling you right there in the seventh verse. He says, Man, I was getting so much revelation. See, look at it like that. I was getting so much revelation. Man, I was about to get exalted above myself. God showed me I'm in Christ, and I can be like Christ, and I can do everything. See, he was about to get exalted above measure. There was a line that he had to draw to say, wait a minute, all my wisdom is in Christ. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. See, he had to put Christ where Christ belongs.
Mm-hmm.
See, sometimes you can get so much wisdom and so much knowledge, you'll think that, wait a minute, I don't need Christ. So Satan, like he normally do, see, if you know his works, he always tried to get us to be exalted above measure. Yeah, you don't have to go no further than the book of Genesis, and you'll see that Satan always trying to get us to be above measure. He was trying to get Adam and Eve to be above measure. You was already like God. You was made in his image and after his likeness. So walk in obedience.
Yes.
So that's what
Amen.
That's what Paul was dealing with here, brothers and sisters, is that his job was to walk in obedience. For though I with desire to glory. See, there was a glorying thing. You know when you glory, man. He said, man, I desire to glory. I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. See, so much stuff was going on about Paul and everything. They kind of like wanted to make him a goddess or a god or whatever because he began to get all this revelation and nobody else had it. So God sent him, allowed Satan to come to him and began to buff him. Go ahead, you this, you that, you that. See, everybody can't handle success. Woo, preacher. Everybody can't handle when God give you something. You got to know how to handle that. God give you a little wisdom. I think a lot of times people want to credit everything to education, everything to how they was raised, everything to what they got. See, we got all these different ways of trying to a credit why we're successful or why we're at the place we are in life. And if you're not careful, you'll forget that it was God. Okay? You'll forget that it was God. I look at things that's going on today in the churches, how people get up and they began to do certain things. If it's nothing but singing, if it's nothing but praise God, they have us thinking that they're praising God. But in essence, that's not what they're doing. They're the one wanting to high five. They're the one that's singing for their own glory. They ain't singing for the glory of God. See, these people, Satan can get you at that place where you'll get so exalted, you'll have people thinking you're doing it for God, but you're not really doing it for God. Now, come on. You get up there, you're dancing. And so the next person was dancing right beside you. Wait a minute. If y'all dancing, that's fine. But don't act like you're doing it for God. See, let's tell the truth about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just seen that. Yeah. I just seen people got up and dance, and then they were doing, and they had pretty much the same kind of dance. You know, I call it the church dance. Because whatever church you go in, you can do that same dance. If they allow you to dance, yes, they don't even allow you to do that kind of stuff. But anyway, because they probably know it's phony anyway, okay? Just keep it real, which they probably know it's phony. But anyway, long story short, so that's what they do. So Paul was in a situation here that he had to deal with the truth. And the truth is, that, man, it's Christ giving me this revelation knowledge. Yeah, and I'm not going to be exalted above measure. Now, I got a lot of it. He had got a lot of revelation knowledge, brothers and sisters. And the devil came to him trying to explain he was this and he was that and the third. He didn't break no leg. He didn't do all that crazy stuff. Now, how I know, that? If you had a broken leg, that just wouldn't go away.
All right. Amen.
Well, preacher, where did you get this stuff from? Right from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
He said, now the 8th verse says that for this thing, call it a thing. Let me say that again. He called it a thing. He says, for this thing, I besought the, he said, nothing about no broken leg.
Amen.
He said, nothing about you were blind.
Amen.
He called it a messenger, and then he turns around and he calls it a thing. Are y'all with me here? Are you praying? Are you trying to see this? I want to make it about clear as I can. He called it a thing. He called it a messenger. I want y'all to see this. See where he's going with this thing here. He called it a thing. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice or three times, that it might depart from me. Well, if you got a broken leg, how that depart from you? Come on now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you blind, how do that, I can almost go along, but that ain't what he said. He said nothing about blindness. That's these theologians, preachers, who don't want to hear what God is saying with this message. He said, I sought the Lord three times. I mean, early in the morning, Lord, Satan, this messenger, he keep messing with me, trying to get me to think I'm somebody I'm not, trying to get me to think I'm better than Christ, trying to get me to think I got power beyond measure because of your grace. I mean, so he's going through this stuff mentally. Matter of fact, the Bible says, Satan, to buff me. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to buff me? Well, I just wish somebody pray with me right now. What does that mean? Well, see, a lot of times people, they don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear their truth. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, right now, God's grace is wonderful. And God knew that's what he took for that, because that's the kind of grace he had. It's the kind that would work in the event that he got the big head. He got blowed up. He was something special. He's something that was... Well, I'm going to use for when he said buffet, something that was hard strike with a part of a body of an instrument. But let me make it real. He was the thing. He was the man. He was what was going on. He was what was happening. He was the bang. He was so proud of being. He was a big man in town. He was somebody. So Satan was trying to buff him, get him to think he was all this and all that. Just look at it like that. He said he buffeted me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Satan did this. That's what Paul said right there. It was Satan. Don't take that out of context, brother and sister. It was Satan.
Yeah.
Do I need to go to the pastor and let her read in the King James Version? I mean, do she need to go read 7 and 8 for you? Because, I mean, if we do now, we can do this. Not a problem here.
Amen.
But if I'm understanding this right, it was Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Satan himself. Matter of fact, I remember a scripture where he went all the way to the third heaven. and where man wasn't even supposed to be. He began to see some stuff and understand some things. And, whoa, he had to come down. He had to come down off that mountain because he saw too much. And Satan get him to think, boy, look at you, Paul. Look, man, look what you know. These other folks ain't teaching this. These other people ain't doing this. And I'm not going to say he could have got paid, but if he was a preacher today with the revelation he was given at that point, day and time, yes, sir, he could have shown up got paid the way he spoke charge for the word of God today. But Paul wasn't like that.
Yeah.
He said, for this thing, I besought the Lord 3 times. I talked to the Lord about it in the morning, at lunchtime, and in the evening, that it should depart from me. Now, I don't know how y'all read that.
Yeah.
And I don't know why people did anything more than what Satan had brought. It was to torment him. The message tormented him day in and day out and brought these thoughts to him. These was thoughts, brothers and sisters. That's what a messenger do. Some folks said, well, it was an angel. I kind of agreed along with that. Might have been one of Satan's angels. But he was on his case about who he was and what he was, because it was about, they were trying to make it about Paul. And Paul said, wait a minute, now this ain't about me now. This is about Christ. To live is Christ. To die is gain. This ain't even about me now. A lot of times folks get hung up about them, because that spirit coming to you now. So he said, no, it ain't about me. He says, but this thing, I sought the Lord for 3 times. And then finally, God answered him. It had to be in the evening. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He took pleasure. He took pleasure, man, in being persecuted. He took pleasure in being called weak. That's what the devil was telling him, how weak he is. He said, you know what, I'd rather be weak in the Lord than to think I'm all of that. So you got to see this thing from a mental and a spiritual way. Paul said, I became a fool. Yeah. I became a fool. That I may glory, ye have not compelled me. For though I have been commanded of you, he said, for in nothing am I behind. I want y'all to get this, man.
Amen.
Yeah, see, he was, the devil was trying to tell him, you're the greatest apostle ever lived. You're the greatest this. You all of this. You all of that. See, so Paul said, God let this thing happen to me. God let this happen to me. He saw that revelation, that it was God allowing Satan to attack him to get him to thinking that he was all this and all of that. So that's why he went to God. This was something too big for him. He went to God and told God, so Lord, now, you know, this thing here is bothering my mind, trying to tell me I'm something that I'm not. I need help with this thing, Lord. Whatever this thing was the spirit. It was the spirit that caused him to want to. And so he referenced to it as infirmity. Let me say one other thing, brothers and sisters. Because I was going to go to Ephesians, but I think I'm going to say that for tomorrow. And I'm going to, because you got to understand, when I tell you God's grace is different, this wasn't no ordinary grace that God gave him. The kind of grace that God gave him was, it was sufficient. It was adequate. It everything he needed was in there.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that great?
Amen.
It was grace to act just like Christ act. So when you hear Paul talking about let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, he always makes sure Christ is head and not him. You never saw him exalt himself above Christ.
Amen.
He got a lot of revelation, but he never exalted himself above Christ. Got to know that, man. Got to understand this.
Amen.
From a mental and also from a spiritual. See, a lot of times when you seen the power of God, when you seen the hand of God move, listen, brothers and sisters, when you seen the power of God move, it ain't nothing like it. I promise you, it ain't nothing like it. And he had seen the power of God move. And so Paul referenced to it as an infirmity. It really is just something that qualify you for being in a condition. It could even be something feeble. It could be a disease. It could have been some kind of sickness. It could have been a mental. It could have been a condition. So when you see the word infirmity, it doesn't necessarily mean it's something in your body parts, rather. It's really something, infirmity, that disrupts your normal life. That's what it is. Infirmities are more of a disruption. It's disruption. That's what it is. And it's not that complicated either, because there are illness that you say, well, let me see what this is. Let me see what that is. Or like a fever, for instance. That could be an infirmity. You don't know what kind it is, but you could, and you want to attach it to the Bible. And then, to the body. But by the same token, I want y'all to hear this, it could be something mentally that's going on. It could be something that causes attacks or anxiety. That anxiety is infirmity. It's a condition.
All right. Amen.
It's an illness. Listen, something that pests you, something that bothers you all the time, something that bugs you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things, like a fly, for instance. I want y'all to really see this thing. That fly ain't on me. It ain't in me. But every time I look around, it bothers me. Bzz, bzz, bzz. And I can't hit that thing. I can't get it. You know, it bothers me. That could be an infirmity.
Right.
Yeah, especially when you got a bunch of them. They're everywhere. So, so when you take that word infirmity, make sure you understand what it's saying. It's something that bugging you. Look at it like that. It's something that caused you to complain. So infirmities are not necessarily an organ. It's not necessarily, and I want to say the right thing, it's not necessarily something that attacks your tissues in your body. Yeah, let us be smart with this, okay? It could be a sickness. It could be a mental sickness. But whatever it was, Paul knew that it could go away.
Mm-hmm.
It was, he recognized it could depart from him. See, like that fly, it could depart from you.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. It was something in his mind. Now, I know if anybody cares to debate that, I'm right here with you. All you got to do is just show me the scripture, because I'm going to show you that it was revelation knowledge. because he had gotten abundance revelation knowledge, and that's nothing physical. That's something in your mind. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, if we said, we're at the point where if anybody have anything they want to share for today, about today's lesson or whatever, press 1. Something you're missing, press 1. And we'll listen to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So, Pastor, I like to read this from the New Living Translation, beginning with the 5th verse. So it'd be 2 Corinthians 12, verses 5 through 10, which brings out everything that you were saying. So I'm again reading with the 5th verse. It says,
what translation is this?
This is the New Living Translation.
New Living. Okay. Thank you. All right, good. All right, that's the New Living piece.
Yeah. And reading, starting with the 5th verse, it says, that experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so, because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelation from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weaknesses. So now I am glad to boast about the weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecution, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. So that just bringing it out all what you was teaching today.
All right. That's awesome. That is awesome, yeah. Pastor. Thank you so much. Well, I just,
Yeah, I was just, as you was teaching, I was just following you along in the New Living Translation, and I was just, it was going boom, boom, boom. I was like, okay, Lord, I could see it better now because as you were teaching, yes, we had been taught it was, you know, something physical, but right here it tells us that it is, you know, it was spiritual, and the fact that Satan was tormenting him, and that infirmity, like you were saying, we always want to label infirmity with something, you know, going on in our body, and never think about it's the mind. It's the mind, the battle going on in our mind. And so this scripture just brings it out. Just, you know, just lets us know, yes. You know, we're going to be tested.
God is my witness. I never read that. And that was something God gave me. Stuff I said was something God told me to say. Listen, brothers and sisters, I thank her very much for that. That just, y'all don't know, that blessed me. So, Pastor, I just want you to know, and you, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you just, you blessed me. Mm-hmm. You blessed me by reading it.
God bless. Amen.
Did you finish?
Yes. Oh, yeah, Pastor, that was it. I'm just thankful for the word. I mean, that, you know, you be bringing it out, and as you bringing it out, as the Holy Ghost using you, then the Holy Ghost is showing me in the scripture, and I have, you know, I always keep several translations around me, when, especially in time for our Bible study, to make it plain so that it makes it plain to me, and I'm praying that it is plain to other people as well.
I appreciate that so much, Pastor. Thank you. You just really shed light on what the Lord was had put in my spirit. So I thank you very much. Anyone else have anything else they want to share? Hallelujah. Anybody else have anything else you want to share? Hallelujah.
Powerful
lesson. Mm. Oh yeah, listen, brothers and sisters, this is gonna be something awesome. I mean, y'all gotta understand.
Yeah.
This is just the foundation. We're trying to make sure everybody understand that God's grace works everywhere, whatever you're dealing with.
Yeah, amen.
Spiritual, physically, whatever. God grace can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with that being said, anybody else? If not, hey, we'll see y'all on tomorrow.